Hello and welcome. You are listening to the teaching ministry of Coastal Oaks Church in Rockport, Texas. It is our hope that you will be encouraged and that your desire to follow Jesus Christ will be challenged and strengthened as you listen to this podcast. For more information on location, service times, and what to expect on your next visit, go to coastaloakschurch.org. Now, grab your Bible and study along with us as you listen.
I invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We will be talking about gifts today, ministry gifts. We're in the middle of our sermon series on the disciples' journey. We have started on the back of your program there. You have it laid out for you. Our three arrows that remind us that this is our mission statement, to lead people to love God, to connect with others, and to reach our world. The first part of that mission statement is to lead people to love God. We want to lead people into a love relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We talked about the lessons on assurance. We taught through those: assurance of salvation, assurance of forgiveness of sin, assurance of answered prayer, assurance of God's guidance. Then the next part of our mission statement is the next step in the process. We want to lead every person to that place where they would connect with others. And we talked about connecting with a grace group or connection class, connecting with this body for church membership. We saw what the purpose is of church being all about the Lord and him, his kingdom, and not about us and our preferences. And now we're to that third part in our series, which is leading people to reach our world, And that's the lessons on reaching that we'll look at today. If you haven't been able to get any of these, you've missed some of these, they're on our website. If you'll go to the place where it's resources, you'll have the download where you can get a podcast. And also under resources, there's a place where you can download the actual sermon outlines for this whole series. So if you've missed any, they're there for you. Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as we talk about the ministry gifts, the first in our series on this. Now, concerning what comes from the Spirit, brothers, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you used to be led off to the idols that could not speak. Therefore, I am informing you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So as Paul introduces the context, the work of the Spirit here, he says in verse 4, now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God activates each gift in each person. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person to produce what is beneficial. Well, those are the ministry gifts as Paul introduces and says that God's Holy Spirit has given those gifts to the body. I want to start today by looking at a working definition of ministry gifts. I got this from Bruce Bugbee, who used to be at Willow Creek. I'm not sure if he's there anymore, but the ministry of networking that they use, this is one of the best definitions that I've ever used. First of all, we're going to look at it a phrase at a time. Ministry gifts are special abilities for special purposes. Ministry gifts are special abilities that are used for spiritual purposes. Not just to be a good teacher in the context of like a school teacher, not just to be a good administrator to business, but to have these gifts that cause you to use them for spiritual purposes. Special abilities used for spiritual purposes. Secondly, they are given by the Holy Spirit. Given by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says clearly here, each person has been given those gifts by the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit distributing the gifts. So, special abilities for spiritual purposes given by the Holy Spirit to every believer in the body of Christ. To every believer. So every person who knows Jesus Christ as personal Savior is given a ministry gift to every believer in the body of Christ according to God's will and grace. According to God's will and grace. God gives those gifts. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, 18, God has placed each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted. So it is God's will and grace that determines who receives what gifts. Now here's the important part, the last part of the definition. These gifts are to be used in the service of others, or the ministry of others, the service of others. So let's just look at that whole definition. Ministry gifts are special abilities used for spiritual purposes given by the Holy Spirit to every believer in the body of Christ according to God's will and grace to use in the service of others. These are not adornments. These are not trophies that you put on a shelf and say, look at my gift. They're to be used for serving. So that's the definition. And as we walk through this in the weeks to come, we'll look more specifically at some of those gifts and how they operate in the body of Christ. But we're going to answer this question, why study the ministry gifts? Several reasons why we're taking time to do this. The first one is this: we will be held accountable to God as stewards. The first reason to study ministry gifts is we will be held accountable to God as stewards. Peter writes that we're to use this to serve others. He says that, I don't want you to be unaware, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12. So we're to be accountable as stewards. First of all, we need to be accountable to understand the ministry gifts. To understand the gifts, letter A. We have put together a gift assessment. If you've never taken a ministry gift assessment, we have some stacked out there in the foyer on the information table. I invite you to take one of these. It's several pages long, but they're just questions that you answer about your tendencies. Like the first question, you would answer on a scale of 0 to 3. I like to learn about management and organization. Some of you, that's a 3. Some of you, that's a 0. Anyway, the questions just work their way. Here's one question. I am drawn to unbelievers. It's either a 0 or a 3. I like giving to those in need. Just questions like that. So it's not like a spiritual questionnaire where you have to answer Bible questions. It's to show kind of the tendency that you have. And this is not a stamp that says this is your gift, but this is one tool in the whole toolbox of what your ministry gift might be. We'll talk more as we go through this of how important it is for other people to give you feedback. But this is one tool that helps you identify what your ministry gift might be. So I want you to understand what those gifts are and understand what gift you may have been given by God. To understand the gifts and to use the gifts. We'll be held accountable to God as stewards to understand the gifts and to use the gifts. Paul wrote to Timothy, do not neglect the gift that is in you. We are to use these ministry gifts. We're to be stewards of those gifts. When I was a kid, I went to boys camp. I think it might have been RA camp, but they didn't call it that. I was 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, somewhere in there. And I was so excited because when we committed to go to camp, they gave us a list of things to take to camp. And any little boy loves to get ready to go to camp, excited. And on that list were things like a hatchet. I thought, this is my kind of camp. A knife. Yes. Got a knife with a little pouch and everything. I mean, it was like that long. I can't believe I got it, but I had that knife and a mess kit and a backpack. And I thought, great, this is going to be so cool. So I got my little metal mess kit. They may not be metal anymore, but they were in those days, and went to camp and was so excited. I'm going to get to use this mess kit, because you open it up and I played with it and looked like a couple of skillets, and the strap that holds it together folds out and it's like a skillet, and this could be a plate, and you have a knife, a fork, and a spoon that are kind of bolted together. Took those. I was ready. Got there day one at camp to use my mess kit and found out they had a mess hall. I didn't need my mess kit. And so we ate meals, and I said, when do we get to use our mess kit? They said, later in the day, in the week. Hang on there. So finally, toward the end of the week, they said, we're going on an overnight camp out. We're going to hike off into the woods in the mountains of New Mexico, and we're going to camp. And we hiked, and we hiked, and we hiked, and we hiked, and we hiked. And we finally got there. We set up camp, which was a joke, but we made it. Little boys don't care at all. They don't care. We woke up the next morning, and they said, get your mess kits. Yes! So I got my mess kit out, and they said, you get in line and hold your mess kit out. We're going to give you breakfast. You're going to cook it yourself. So we got in line, and I got up there, and they put two eggs, just, you know, two eggs, still raw eggs in my skillet, and a couple of pieces of bacon, a couple of pieces of bread, and they gave us a carton of milk to go cook our breakfast. And so we got the fire going, which was fun, little boys. I mean, really, just give little boys a knife and wood and fire, and we're happy. So I start scrambling my eggs with my bacon, and it's a mess, and it's got ashes in it and sand in it, and, you know, it was just pretty bad. But it was breakfast I was cooking on the campfire, and I look over at this other guy, and he has set up a little assembly line. He has one part of his mess kit over here on the fire with the bacon kind of frying to get some grease, and he has the other part over there. He's mixed his eggs and his milk, and he's scrambled up to make French toast. And he dips the toast in there and he puts it in. My first thought is really? You know what my second thought was? Why didn't I think of that? He took what was given him and he used it in what I thought was a pretty incredible way. When God gives us ministry gifts, we're stewards of those things. And it may be a couple of eggs and a mess kit. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? God says, I'm going to hold you accountable. I've gifted you. Are you using those gifts? We want to help you understand those. Second reason a study ministry gives is if we do, we will know God's will and our spiritual job description. Our spiritual job description. Bubby uses these words. I like that. My spiritual job description. Look with me at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Some translations say, this is your spiritual act of worship. This is your spiritual job description. God gifts you. God, by His Holy Spirit, gives you a ministry gift, and your spiritual job description is to live out the Christian life using that ministry gift. A lot of what we've talked about in the past weeks has been about the ministry of discipleship, but a part of that is to discover what your giftedness is and to operate it in the body of Christ. And when we do that, first of all, we will know how to serve. To know my spiritual job description is to know how to serve. If you ever tried to help a toddler, they have those little block things, at least when I was a kid, they were, and for years they were wood, I think now they're plastic, but you have circles and triangles and octagons and squares, and then you have these little items that go in those, and a little hammer mallet, and you sit down with a toddler and they're pounding away at this square peg trying to put it in a round hole, and you try to explain it to them, it's not going to work. You kind of line it up where it's supposed to go, and they may hit it again, they're going to come back and try to do it themselves. That's the way a lot of folks are in the body of Christ. We're trying to put square pegs in round holes. We're trying to put that round thing in that thing that's shaped like a star. To know what your ministry gift is to know how to serve. It shows where you fit in the body. Have you ever wondered that? How do I fit in? I can't preach. I can't sing in the choir. I can't do that. What is it that I'm supposed to do? I remember the church that I got saved in, they did not say this, but this is what was communicated, and this is what I got as a new believer. If you want to serve the Lord, you have two options once you're a new believer. This is what I heard. You can go to Bible college and be a preacher, or you can run a bus ministry. You can be a bus captain. That's all there was. Now, they didn't say that, but that's what I heard. That was kind of the understanding. Well, if you want to serve the Lord, you can be a bus captain and visit kids on Saturday, which really didn't light my fire as a young man, you know. Or you can go to Bible college. Definitely didn't light my fire. So I just sat in the pew going, I don't know how I fit in. To know your ministry gift is to know that job description, how you serve, how the pieces fit. And letter B, it means we will have a more focused ministry. To know your ministry gift, you will have a more focused ministry. When you take light and you focus it down as far as it can be focused, you have a laser light beam. Super concentrated. Boy, a laser can do a lot of incredible things. Our world revolves around what lasers can do now. To know your spiritual gift, your ministry job description, means you can focus in on what you're really gifted to do. Now, there are a lot of things you can do in the body of Christ. A lot of things that when you're eager to serve, you could put all these hats on and be serving over here and over there and over there, and it's good, but it doesn't allow you to focus. Sometimes we take a brand new believer and they're so excited in the Lord and they want to serve and they'll do anything and we say, yay, we've got one. And you know what we do? We burn them out. We let them serve over here and serve over here and serve over here, and they get in places where really they're not gifted for it. They wear too many hats. We need to zero in and understand our spiritual job description and just wear that one or two hats that God has gifted us to wear. Number three, the third reason we will be fruitful and fulfilled. The third reason to study ministry gifts, we will be fruitful and fulfilled. Look at John chapter 15. Again, we've studied John 15 in the context of discipleship and abiding in the vine, but I just want to look at this verse. We'll read 8 through 11 in John 15. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. That remain is that word, abide. I have spoken these things to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. I believe that part of the fulfillment and fruitfulness and joy in the Christian life comes not only in that love relationship with Jesus Christ, but the expression of that love relationship in ministry in the body. And that's what we call using the ministry gifts. That's where there's fruit. That's where there's fulfillment. my own personal testimony, frustrated about how I fit in and what I was supposed to be doing till I discovered what my ministry gifts were. I say gifts because many of us have several. There's a dominant one usually, and then you have several. But when I discovered what my gift was, there was joy and fulfillment. There was fruitfulness. There was a sense of this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I can remember a couple of weeks ago coming from walking across the parking lot here from the connection class to worship, and God just impressed me one more time, as He does often. Kevin, this is what I made you for. This is what I've created you to do. I've shared that before. I could do this right here all the time. This is joy and fulfilling for me. Some of you would cringe at doing this. But teaching is my ministry gift, and I love doing this. There are a lot of other things that happen in the body of Christ that don't bring me joy and fulfillment. But I do them because I'm a steward and I'm a servant. But I tell you what, this is where I'm energized. This is where I feel fulfilled. And by the way, that's where fruit is. When you see fruit. I was in a single Sunday school class years ago, and we brought in a substitute teacher who was thinking about teaching the class, and there were about 30 or 40 of us singles. And so he got up and he spread out his notes and he started teaching, and I can't even remember what the topic was, what verses we used, but he was done in about 10 minutes. And we all looked at our watches and looked at him, and he said, "Well, let's pray, we're done." And I'm like, "Really?" So we prayed and we were through, and we had a lot of mingling time after that. So we were mingling out in the hallway waiting for the worship service to start. And he said, Matt, he said, that was so exciting for me when I was studying at home. But it just didn't come out when I taught it. And it went very fast. What happened? And I didn't know then to tell him, you probably don't have the gift of teaching. I just tried to encourage them a little bit. But basically, there was no fulfillment because he was very frustrated and there was no fruit. If you're serving in a ministry and you're not fulfilled and there's no fruit, that should be a red flag, a question mark to you. Am I serving in my giftedness? Number four, the church will benefit. The church will benefit. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he personally, he being the Lord Jesus himself, personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the training of the saints in the work of the ministry, to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children tossed by waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness and techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into Him who is the head, Christ. Growing, benefiting, the maturing. The Bible says that God gave these gifted men. He lists apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors, teachers. Those are gifted men that God gives to the body of Christ. And he says the outcome of that is that the body of Christ will be built up. What does that mean? Let's look at three things here. It means with the people in the body exercising their ministry gifts, there will be more unity and harmony in the body. There will be more unity and harmony in the body of Christ. And he says, till we all reach the unity of faith. Someone said, if everybody has an oar in the rowboat, fewer people are going to be rocking the boat. You ever been in a rowboat with kids that aren't rowing? You know what they love to do. Or a canoe? Can I get it close to flipping over? Or a kayak? But you give them an oar, and they have a responsibility to row the boat. That's what we're called to do. That's where unity comes in. Everybody rowing in the same direction. I have a friend who's told me, Pastor, when I find myself most critical of the church is when I'm not serving. And I want to say, duh. When you sit on the sidelines and watch other people, you can pick out everything that's wrong. You're probably picking out something wrong about me right now. Or something. We just do that when we just sit on the sidelines. But when we are together and we're rowing together, there's unity, there's harmony. When the body of Christ discovers their giftedness and begins to serve in that gift in us, everybody's moving in the same direction because they're the gifts of the Spirit. And as Paul says, that one Spirit, there's one calling, one direction. Letter B, there will be less pride and less false humility. When we understand our giftedness, the church benefits this way. There's unity and harmony, and there will be less pride and less false humility. Paul writes in Romans 12, verse 3 there, that everyone should not think of himself more highly than he should think. In other words, you don't look at your giftedness and say, I'm great, I'm wonderful, I'm the best there is, I'm God's gift to the church, they should appreciate me. Instead, I understand that the gift comes from God, and I'm nothing but, as Paul says, a jar of clay, a vessel of clay, so that he can get the glory, he can get the honor for living through my life. Less pride, less false humility. As Paul introduces in 1 Corinthians 12 there, the Spirit, he talks about the fact that they were previously worshiping idols that were man-made, and they would make those man-made idols and set them on a shelf, and you read what the prophets say about that. They carve these things out of wood and then expect them to speak, but they don't speak. And you worship these idols that are man-made. And then he says, instead of that, we have a Spirit who's been given to the church to equip the church to do ministry through these ministry gifts. Not to be set up on a shelf to be worshiped. Not to say, yay, great job, whoever. But to say, great God for doing that. One of the things that Thanksgiving is all about, Andy reminded us this morning as we were worshiping in the early service, that's the expression of our life. Thankfulness, gratitude, because he is the giver. I will willingly yield to that person who has that giftedness that I don't have. Why? Because I know God's placed them there for a reason. I celebrate that. I don't know, many of you don't know this, but for years I led worship and would stand here with a guitar and lead the singing and lead the worship. And I wasn't like, this is my thing. I don't want anybody else to do this. I love doing it. But I prayed for God to send someone who would do that. And when God sent Andy to us, I gladly said, thank you, Lord, for bringing somebody who has that giftedness and it can do that. See, that's what you do. See, I know what my giftedness is. Again, we serve when we need to serve, but when the gifted person steps into the ministry, we're willing to step out and be humble. Lack of pride. Letter C. Another benefit to the church is there will be growth and maturity in the body. There will be growth and maturity in the body. Again, that last part of Ephesians 4, it promotes the growth of the body, verse 16 says. Growth and maturity. You want to know why the body grows spiritually? Why the body grows to maturity when people use their ministry gifts? Because that's the way God designed us. See, he's the giver. He empowers, he equips. The fifth reason to study ministry gifts is the best reason. Is because God will be glorified. God will be glorified. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4. In verse 11. If anyone speaks, it should be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, it should be from the strength God provides. Let me just pause right there. Peter is saying, if you serve in ministry, whether it's speaking, serving, whatever that gift is, it's because God is giving you that ability. It is a supernatural God-given ability to do that. So that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. See, the ultimate reason that we learn our ministry gifts is not so we can say, I've learned them, I've checked it off, I've got it, I've gone through that assessment the pastor did, or I filled somebody else's list out and I've got it down now. It's so that we can serve in ministry, that the body will be matured and mature and grow, and God himself will be glorified. That's what it's about. That's all it's about. The young man named Nick Vujicic, he's Australian. His parents are church planters. Nick was born without any arms or legs. And his parents struggled with that God, here we are serving you, and our son's been born with this and just an overwhelming deformity, the way they saw it. Nick says that growing up in Sunday school, reading about the fact that he was made in the image of God, thought it seemed like some kind of a cruel joke. At age 8, he attempted suicide, or contemplated suicide. But at age 15, he was reading the Bible, and he said, it answered one of my toughest questions. It was the story of the man who had been born blind. Remember the story where the Pharisees and the religious leaders questioned this man? And he says, when I read the story of the blind man, Jesus said he was born so that the work of God could be revealed through him. That gave me peace. And I said, Lord, here I am. Use me, mold me, make me the man you want me to be. That was his prayer. Surrendered his life to the Lord to be used, and now he speaks all over the world. 12-plus nations that he's spoken to, millions of people, sharing his testimony that God could take him and use him for God's glory. He's even written a book. I love the title. No arms, no legs, no worries. And he shares Christ with people. I tell you, that's quite a story. That God could take this guy that couldn't stand here like I'm standing here and couldn't turn these pages like I'm turning the pages and uses him for his glory. That's what God wants to do with every one of us. Now you can compare yourself with somebody like that, or you can just say, I don't think of myself as too much, but God has gifted you if you know Christ as Savior. He wants to use you for his glory. I'm convinced that when we discover and begin functioning in our ministry giftedness, this congregation will be transformed so that God will get the glory. Let's pray.